Hello, everybody. I'm Cody Balch from Better Equipped, and today we finish chapter 1 in the book of Philippians. So whether you've been joining us or not, nonetheless, like, here's what you need to know. That the Apostle Paul is in prison, and he's writing back to a church that he helped start in the town of Philippi, a Roman colony town, and listen, he loves them deeply, and they are reciprocating that love to him, and he's sharing about his suffering and how God is using it and his perspective on life and death. And then he gets today to the end of chapter 1. We're going to go from verse 27 through verse 30. So four verses we're going to walk through. And here's the question you need to start with today. Are you living a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus? Are you living a life worthy? What does that mean? Today, this is what the Apostle Paul says. We're going to unpack, what does that mean? What does he mean by that saying? And so I hope that you'll just engage your hearts and minds and really kind of lean in on this and assess your own life and heart to what the Apostle Paul is talking about. All right, he says in verse 27, whatever happens, okay, no matter what happens, whether life or death or prison or no prison or whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. No matter what happens to you, no matter what trouble comes, no matter what good things and blessings you get, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. All right. So conduct yourselves in a manner that the kind of the Greek word for that would have been like, be the citizens, the good citizens that you need to be. And he's using this language in this Roman Empire that understood that Roman citizenship is a big deal. And what does it mean to be a citizen of Rome? And so he's kind of playing on that language, and in chapter 3, he'll get back to that, you know, we're citizens of heaven, okay? That language and that idea. But he says, no matter what happens. So you got to think right now in your life, in my life, what are the things that have happened that have challenged me to not live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ? What has challenged me to compromise? What has challenged me to assimilate to the ways of the world instead of the citizenship I have in heaven as a child of God? Has it been, again, it could be a lot of things. I don't know. Has it been just certain temptations? Peer pressure? Maybe the loss of a loved one, which just, whether it was sudden or not sudden, that challenged you to not live a life, to make that decision of, am I gonna honor Christ? What does it mean to live a life worthy of the gospel? What does it even look like? Have you thought about that? I want you to think about it right now, okay? Like, let's think about it together. When I think about what it means to live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ, I think of a life that is not perfect, but it's striving to stay surrendered to Jesus as Lord, our commanding officer. He's more than that. But it's that we're not living life our way, that we are beyond just consulting through prayer, God, what do you want for my life? What do you want in this situation? God, use me in this, in whatever ways you want, or use me in this situation. It's that we're desiring to run everything through the filter of what does it mean in light of who Jesus is, God in the flesh, who Jesus is, what he's done on the cross, that he saved me from my sins, that he's rescued me from the clutches of death, and promised me eternal life. So in light of the gospel, how do I view everything? How do I make decisions? How do I think? Where do I spend my time? How do I spend my money? How do I steward my relationships? How do I love people the way Christ has loved me? I mean, in essence, to live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ, what is the gospel? worthy of? What is Jesus worthy of? Well, everything. He's worthy of everything, all of us. I mean, in light of what Jesus has done by dying on the cross to give his life for us, what he's worthy of is for us to be willing to give our whole lives to him. And if required, even to the point of death, not killing, but death. And I think that is really challenging, right? For you, for me, that no matter what happens, are we desirous and striving to live a life, to live our life and conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's take ourselves back to where Paul's at, sitting in prison, encouraging the free Philippians, at least free in the sense that they're not in prison for the gospel. He's like, I'm in prison for the gospel. That's what happened to me. You're not. But no matter what happens to me or to you, I'm imploring you to live a life and live life and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. All right, let's see what he says after that. Okay, so that's kind of really this, this main kind of setting the tone, setting the main message. And then he says, then whether I come and see you, which he's hoping to do, but he's in prison and there's no guarantee of that. So then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence. Okay, so whether I'm there with you in person or I just get reports about you like he's doing now, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. He's saying, listen, not only are you living a life worthy of the gospel, but I pray that whether I see you or just hear about you, that I know and can have confidence that you all, as believers, are unified in the one spirit, striving together for the one gospel. That you are not just doing this alone, that you all are together, and that together you are better. And he says, it's like you're locking arm in arm, and your feet are planted firmly, and that you're stronger together. It's harder, it's much easier to push over one person than a whole group of people, okay? It's something that, it's easier to pick up one stone than a whole pile of stones. And I mean that in a positive way, as believers, that we can stand firm as one for the gospel. He says, are you living a life worthy of the gospel? Then when you all are living a life worthy of the gospel and you're unified together in the one spirit, that this person doesn't have a one different spirit and this person has a different spirit and you're all trying to fight and divide. He says, no, that there is unity because you all are in love with the same Lord and Master and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that you all serve him and he is not confused, giving out different commands and orders and examples of how we should live, that you're all supposed to love one another the way that Christ loved us first, and that through that, no matter who opposes you, okay, that you can stand firm, he says, verse 28, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, okay? So, lone wolf, you're all by yourself. You're all alone. You don't feel like you have people. Do you feel like you have people in your court, on your side, not on your side, like just you, but on the same side of Jesus, that you and them and other people in your life are striving together toward Jesus and what he wants for your life and how he wants to use you collectively to reach people with the gospel? Is that something that you have? Because he says, if you're alone, he says, that's going to be tough, but striving together without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. And guess what? There are people both in the spiritual realms and on this earth that will and do oppose you if you stand for Jesus. The Apostle Paul's in prison for it. It's happening. I mean, the Philippians are experiencing it at various levels as well. He'll say that near at the end. He says, this is a sign. Okay, this opposition is a sign to them that they will be destroyed. And it's not just the opposition. What did he just get done saying? He says, if you stay unified and stand firm as one for the gospel in the same spirit, this will be a sign to the world who opposes you, to those who oppose you, that they will be destroyed. Okay, it is weird for you to stand for something that isn't self-serving in that moment, that it is bringing retribution, that it is bringing persecution and opposition toward you, and you don't get rich for it, and you don't get popular for it, and you don't get a lot of what the world says are good things. He says, this is going to be a sign, their opposition and your willingness to not budge and to stand firm as one for the gospel, sadly for them, it's going to serve as a sign that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, that you have a hope, that you have a purpose in your life that is greater than anything else in this world. He says, this is what it's going to be. It's going to be a sign to them, and you'll be saved, and it's be a sign that you'll be saved, and by that, and that by God. Verse 29, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, okay? There's more than that. Not only to believe in him. Are you ready for the next part? Okay? It's not, but to live luxurious lives filled with no trouble. Mm-mm, that's not what it says. Verse 29, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Are you okay with that? It's been granted. It's been given to you by Jesus to not only believe in him, but also to suffer for him. How does that hit your ears? Is that what you think you signed up for? To follow Jesus? I don't know. I mean, most of us spend our entire lives trying to avoid discomfort, any sacrifice, any pain. And he says, no, it's been granted to you not only to believe, but also to suffer for Jesus. Verse 30, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. He says, you're going through the same struggles that I have and that you have seen other people have. And like me, he says, you're experiencing it. This isn't just me out in prison. You're experiencing opposition and you need to stand firm. You need to link together. You need one another. It's imperative. And so he says, just like Jesus says in John chapter 13, that the world will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another. He also says, listen, this is going to be a sign that you're saved and that there is salvation for some. And that for others, they're leading themselves toward destruction as they reject Jesus by the way that you stay unified in me, Jesus. Jesus desires that. And so I want us to think right now, are we living lives that are worthy of the gospel? Are we living our lives in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus? What in your life is not worthy of what Jesus has done for you? What parts of your heart have you not surrendered, saying, Jesus, I need you to take this from me. I need you to have this because it's not of you, and I need you to nail it to the cross. What are the other parts of your life that you say, God, I need your help giving that up. I need your help. Oh, I'm hanging on to this. I want this. I desire this in my flesh. Or is it that I'm, God, give me the courage to suffer for your name if that's what you call me to. That I'll consider it a blessing that I've been counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. That you, Jesus, were willing to suffer for me because of your love for me. And I'm willing, if called upon, to suffer for you. Please don't ever confuse that suffering for the gospel means that you did something wrong. Now, if you did something wrong, Okay, own it. But don't confuse it. Suffering automatically means that you did something wrong. It's actually something promised by Jesus. Jesus says, if they hated me, John chapter 15, if they hated me, they will hate you also. They hated me first, Jesus says. And he was perfect. So let's live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's live a life that is worthy of the calling of the name of Jesus, that he has saved us through his death on the cross, through his resurrection, and that we can unite together in one spirit under the name of the gospel, Jesus Christ, and that we will not be frightened in any way by those, spiritual or human, who oppose us. I think we need that in this time and day and age. I don't think it's new. We read about it 2,000 years ago. They needed it then. We need it now. Are we willing to do what it takes to step into it like they were striving after? That is the same calling that you and I are called into. And so I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you will step into that further than even you were at the beginning of this episode. I pray that if there's ways I can encourage you, that you'll reach out to me at betterequippedwithcody@gmail.com. Thank you for bearing with me as I have a little bit of a lost voice. I appreciate you bearing with me on that. But listen, I love you with the love of the Lord, and I'm praying for you. Let me know if I can be an encouragement to you in any specific ways. Make sure you hit like, make sure you hit subscribe, and share this out with others who need this reminder and encouragement as well. And next time on the Verse by Verse, we will begin chapter 2, one of the most beautiful chapters in all of Scripture. We'll see you soon. Bye.